Hey everyone, this is Jim, producer of the Around the House Show podcast. If you're listening right now, you already know we bring you the best tips, tricks, and expert advice to fix, upgrade, and maintain everything in your home without the headaches or the huge bills. But if you're catching us on the radio or borrowing a friend's phone, you're missing out on new episodes dropping straight to your device every week. So do yourself a favor, hit pause for just a second, grab your phone, and subscribe to Around the House Show on your favorite podcast player. Whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, or wherever you listen. It's completely free, and you'll never miss an episode again. Thanks for supporting the show. Now let's get back to making your house work for you. Ready to turn your house into the home you've always dreamed of without the headaches or huge bills? You're tuned to Around the House, the nation's number one home improvement radio show and podcast, with expert advice that's helped millions tackle everything from remodels to repairs. Hosts Eric G. and John Dudley have got you covered with the best advice and information about your home. Now, let's get this hour started.
Welcome to the Around the House Show, your trusted source for everything about your home. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Eric G. John Dudley, good to see you. This is going to be a fun episode today, brother.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They always
talk about one of your favorites.
Roofing. Let's go.
Woo. Oh, man. I tell you what, this is a pet peeve of mine because, for instance, I live in the Pacific Northwest, and for some reason, some builders forget that we're... or even homeowners forget that we're in the Pacific Northwest. And one roof surface does not fit all climates, in my opinion. And you should be paying attention to the roofing that's going up. Great example. I don't talk to one of my brothers much every few years if I have to. But I was talking to my mom this last weekend and she's, oh yeah, we had that windstorm and he could hear the shingles blowing off his roof and he called his roofer in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and left him a voicemail so he could be first in line to get somebody out there.
Yikes.
Now, this house is, what, 5 or 6 years old? So this isn't a new roof, but he is out in the middle of the desert where the wind rushes through there, and a 30-mile-an-hour day, 30-mile-an-hour wind is a calm day.
Yeah.
It's getting 70, 80, 90-mile-an-hour. And, of course, he didn't talk to me about anything about the house, what he had it built. I would have went, probably should put on either metal... or even better, put on something that is a hurricane-rated asphalt shingle, and you'll probably be good. Nope, they probably put the 25-year architectural up there that was as cheap as you could get, the builder special, and now every 4 or 5 years, he's up there having somebody weave in more roofing up there, and it's always going to look like you've just wove in more roofing.
Yeah. Yep.
We see that so often. And what I mean by that is, like, for instance, here... in the Pacific Northwest, at least on our side of the state here, and I say that because in Washington and Oregon, there's the Cascade Mountains that divide the state kind of left and right as you look at it and politically. But when you look at it, you got desert on one side, and on the coastal side, you got this wet area over there where moss grows on everything. And when you put a clay or concrete tile roof on it, it doesn't work so well. It's not like it's Arizona. That concrete, man, it loves to soak up moisture. And two, when it does, it is just the perfect medium for moss.
Yep. I've pressure washed a few, my mom's house included.
Yeah. And the problem is pressure washing it is tough because you get so much organic matter that likes to fill in down underneath it even. And to get those to look good and even is a tough battle when you're up there pressure washing. That's where you almost have to have the professional or contractor up there that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, that'd be me. But yeah, it's not a quick rinse down. That stuff, it's tough, man. It's like barnacles on a boat. It's insidious. And you're right. It gets under there. And oftentimes, keeping it consistent with your pressure washing so you don't got lines everywhere. Because you have to hit some of those spots so hard to get the moss off or loose.
Yeah.
And secondarily, a lot of times with, especially with tile roofs, you get that moss out of there. Now you got a roof leak. because the moss was actually stopping the water from going through to your house.
Yeah, you had that in there, which is true. And then, oh my gosh, you got the cleanup afterwards because that moss, you're wearing half of it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't put plastic down beforehand, you will the next time.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, that's where I look at the soft wash guys out there and go, have at it, kids. Because that's just a lot of work. I saw a guy at my old house. The neighbor had paid some guys to come over, and the guy was up with a little 110 Karcher.
Oh, yeah. That's
pressure washer up there, a little electric one up there. He was up there for 3 days on a not big house. And I was just like,
that's a square inch at a time there. That is not going to suffice.
No, I was just like, oh, brutal. No soaps, no nothing to no surfactants to break that down. And I was just like, oh, brutal.
If you want to get out of the house, I guess that's one way to do it.
Great place to hide. Your wife's having the baby shower and the family's over. I got to do the roof. It's the one day I can do it.
Yeah.
If you want to hide, it's a great place for it.
I'd rather be tying flies in the garage, but they can come in the garage. They ain't coming up on the roof.
No one's coming on the roof. And that's the thing, man. It's tough. And we saw here in the 60s and 70s, we saw cedar shake shingles here, which were either the shakes are the big ones. So those are the big hand split shakes that look kind of wavy and they break and they do it versus a more traditional cedar shingle that looks like it's on the side of a house. But those were maintenance nightmares as well for the same reasons. And we had those on our house as a kid in Eastern Washington in the Tri-Cities. And holy smokes, dude. Those things, when they get dry in the summertime, when it's 110 degrees outside for a week and a half.
Yeah.
That's a kindling fire ready to start.
Yeah, buddy. And typically, like, honestly, I'm a fan. Like, I love me a cedar shake roof. But yeah, problematic, of course, right? Half the time, nobody seals them. So water's just soaking right in. Moss is growing. In the first year, you've got a jungle up there.
Yeah.
And again, another example of the minute you start pressure washing that moss off, you're getting leaks.
And you're doing all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting leaks in your roof.
When you think about how they built those roofs many times, they wanted the cedar to dry out. So they're stacked up on there. But many times there's not there's not tar paper underneath it. They're up there on 2x2 lath across the, off the, or 1x2 lath across the top of that, or 1x4s or whatever. And there's an area that lets them breathe. So they're just over the top of that. So when you go to tear that off, you're now resheathing the entire roof, which on a project can be expensive.
But it's super fun because you get to knock down all the little nails that had those shakes put in.
Oh, yeah, I know. Dude, we had that. We had that on the beach house out there. They had that. It was not the shakes. It was the cedar shingle roof. Uh-huh. And what was worse was they had that. And then some not so smart person, I'll be as nice as I can with that, decided to put three layers of 3-tab over the top of it.
Over the shingles?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
They nailed it right over the top of the shingles.
Okay. Yeah, that should work out.
Tear-off was not fun.
What?
Oh, yeah. And of course, that was the beach house. We had another 10 layers of tarps over the top of that. So.
Wow.
It was the worst to pull off. Now, the good news was I didn't have to worry about getting rid of the asbestos-filled tar paper because there wasn't any. Yeah. It was just
a lot of times they'd put that rosin paper under there. You're like, what is it? What was the point of that? Even so, your gum didn't fall through the cracks in the sheet.
It was so bad. And what they had done too, and I think they had used it. It was funny. So they had dipped all the 2x6s that were actually 2x4s that were going across. Or actually, no, 1x4. Sorry, they're going across there. They had dipped those in tar or had wiped tar on them so they wouldn't rot.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Did it solve the problem? No.
No.
Because they still wouldn't put nails through it, which didn't help. But it did cut back on the rot. But oh my gosh, that was a battle. We had to resheet that whole thing. And then it was all stick framed, not trusses. So we had to do a lot of repairs in some areas where you couldn't get on it. It was just like, all right, let's cut that out and reframe it.
Many a times, my friend.
Yeah. So anyway, so I think for the Pacific Northwest, West Coast, you know, where you get that water, asphalt shingles, for instance, are great. You can do some of the new composite tiles and stuff out there. They have so many different roofing things now, from stamped metal that has a roofing coating on the outside of it, where they look like shingles and they snap on. There's the ones that look like slate that are made out of rubber. Those are interesting. And they nail on like you would a slate, but they're made out of a rubber product. So they're super durable. But
doesn't sound eco-friendly, but it sounds like you could be there a while.
When you're talking in our area, and we're going to talk about different areas in the country here, but when you talk about that, it's one of those things you really need to pay attention to of what your zone is, where you're at. Because I think for the Pacific Northwest, asphalt shingles, metal roofing, and some of the composites make a lot of sense. Now, when we come back, Johnny, let's talk about kind of your area that you did a lot of stuff on. That's going to be the Pacific, the Southwest, really. We'll get out of the Pacific Northwest, go to the Southwest, and talk about that when we return, because that's a whole different area that you used to work in.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. All right, we'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Don't change that dial.
Hey, everyone. This is Jim, producer of the Around the House Show podcast. If you're listening right now, you already know we bring you the best tips, tricks, and expert advice to fix, upgrade, and maintain everything in your home without the headaches or the huge bills. But if you're catching us on the radio or borrowing a friend's phone, you're missing out on new episodes dropping straight to your device every week. So do yourself a favor, hit pause for just a second, grab your phone, and subscribe to Around the House Show on your favorite podcast player. Whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, or wherever you listen. It's completely free, and you'll never miss an episode again. Thanks for supporting the show. Now let's get back to making your house work for you.
Hey guys, Eric G here with your Around the House Red Wing Work Safety Tip. When you're tackling projects around the house, the easiest way to get hurt is by wearing the wrong clothes. Baggy sleeves catch on power tools, loose pants snag on ladders, and the wrong shoes turn a simple step into a trip or a crushed toe. Heck, even with a long beard or hair like mine, they can get caught in a power tool. Here's today's tip. Always choose fitted, durable work clothing that protects your skin and gives you that full range of motion. Long sleeves and pants made from tough, breathable fabric keep debris and sparks off your skin, while reinforced pockets and reinforced toes keep you safe when you're carrying lumber or climbing. And never skip the right footwear, slip-resistant soles, and safety toes when you're working, even more so on wet decks or uneven ground. A few extra seconds to dress right can save you weeks of pain. Stay safe out there. This project safety segment is proudly brought to you by Red Wing. This month, Red Wing is launching their brand new clothing line, built for the way you actually work. Same legendary durability you trust in their boots, now in shirts and hoodies that move with you. Breathe when you sweat and stand up to the real jobs around the house or on the site. Comfortable enough for all-day wear, tough enough to keep you protected. Check out the new collection at redwingshoes.com or your local Red Wing store today. Red Wing, gear that works as hard as you do.
What's up? This is Sticks and Inya.
And Satchel from Steel Panther. And you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
1987. Welcome back to the Around the House Show, your trusted source for everything about your home. If you want to find out more about us, head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. John and I have been sitting here talking about roofing. And I know this can be like watching paint dry, so we're going to try to keep you engaged here with this because it's not the most sexiest subject, but we're just trying to help you guys as you're out there looking to replace a roof or whatever, make some smarter decisions that will get you the most out of your money. Because if you put the wrong roof in the wrong place, that can get really expensive because you don't want to do this twice. Because even the least expensive asphalt shingle can be pretty expensive when you're talking about putting it down up top and having to replace a bunch of stuff. So we're trying to help you save some money in the long run and give you something that's going to be a good investment for your home. So John, Southwest, what was the most popular roof you saw down there? Of course we got
everything's tile, brother. Everything's tile. Some of the like little Rambler type homes would have just your basic three tab asphalt shingle on them. But generally speaking, everything was tile. Everything was tile. And Yeah, I was just same here in Colombia. And tile floors, tile roofs, everything's tile. Same thing in Arizona, tile floors, tile roofs. But Absolutely. Yeah, some of the like there were neighborhoods, older neighborhoods, 50s, 60s type neighborhoods yeah. with these just ranch style, rambler style homes. And a lot of those were just asphalt shingles.
Yeah.
But
there, as long as they're lighter colors.
312 pitch, it's not so yeah. less, and they're all single level, prone to a lot of, not a lot of wind problems, but we get wind problems in the Northwest as well with the three-tab shingle. They just blow off. That's part of the deal.
That's what they do. It's interesting. And then you go up into the Northeast, for instance, you get up there, even in the Midwest where you got snow and cold and that stuff, really that's where you see the metal, the slate, and the impact resistant higher end architectural shingles go in, and they work well because you're now dealing with freeze thaw and trying to get snow load off.
Snow load, metal's good
for that.
That's why metal's good for sure.
And that's important. And then the interesting stuff is when you get out to the coastal areas, you know, when you're on the coasts and you're at the beach, whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, you still see the concrete tiles, but I'm much more of a fan of metal and the three tab out there because you got all that salt water and galvanized does work okay, but it still rots pretty good. So I think almost out there, you're almost better for storm proof is to get into some of those architectural shingles that are rated for hurricanes that are meant to withstand 100 mile an hour wind. And then you use stainless steel nails to put them in so they don't rot off and fly off because, man, if you don't know what corrosion looks like, head out to the beach and build something and you'll see why stainless steel is everywhere. You can put up, I put up gate hardware that was super rated and a year later, galvanized has washed off of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Got to go stainless steel. Can't go cheap on this stuff.
No, the coast is brutal. I have to go tile at the coast. I just think I just love it. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks good.
It's the vibe, right? I love it.
As we wrap this subject up, brother, the thing that I want to make sure people do out there, whether you're doing zinc or copper strips across the top for maintenance or whatever you're trying to do, maintain it. I like to have on a roof, somebody get up there every year or two, take a look at it, inspect it, maybe clean it. There are companies out there when you're in the last half of that roof life, they can get up there and put conditioners on it to help it be pliable and not lose as many of the granules off your three tab or your architectural shingles. They can come in and paint those metal roofs that have had the color wash off from the sun and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of stuff, like you were talking about, sealing those wood shingles. There's a lot of maintenance. And if you stay on the maintenance, you can save yourself a considerable amount of money with this.
Yeah, it's important. Nobody wants to do it.
It's a heck of a lot safer to get up there to have a professional get up there with fall protection and do it than you get up on the ladder and end up doing a Christmas vacation dive off the roof.
Yeah, that's not good. And yeah, but yeah, and a tile roof, if you can't just hop up there, you bust every damn tile up there and you replace
it. You got to know how to walk on this stuff.
No.
Especially metal roofs too.
You got to duct tape giant sponges to your feet.
Just to keep you from busting them up. So yeah, find that maintenance company that's good at it that can get up there. And I even know some roofers that are doing maintenance agreements and stuff that'll come back every couple of years and check it, make sure it's good and do all that stuff. It's kind of going to the dentist. It's not fun, but you got to take care of it. Otherwise, that's the most important surface of the house. And if it fails, everything else underneath it's going to get wrecked.
Yep, it all starts there, man.
It does. Brother, I wanted to pivot here and talk into something a little bit more fun. Electrical upgrades and stuff around the house that makes sense. And I tell you what, it's one of those things when you're out searching at houses, when you're out looking around, and this is a big one here, and I noticed, especially in my area, we had a big housing boom in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and a lot of places in the country did. But you see these electrical panels that are like the Cutler hammers are what they call the split mains. So you really can't turn the main off to the house, but there's the kind of the 220 breakers on one side. And then you got the regular outlets on the other side, but there's no main coming off of it, or it's a split main situation. There are so many of those breakers that were in a few brands of those panels where the breakers failed. They did not go off when they would overload and they would get crazy.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things that when you're buying that house and you're doing the inspection, I see so many people on social media that have those and they're trying to find a breaker because they don't make the breakers anymore.
Yeah.
And then I see a few of the, what I would call the electrician's helpers out there that are pulling these panels out and they're pocketing the outlet, the breakers.
Yep.
And they're trying to put them on Facebook Marketplace or eBay.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Holy smokes, that's dangerous.
Yeah, buddy. And you bring up a really good point. And I get it. And again, I always bring this up, man. Go on AI and ask about it. Like, seriously, get some answers so you are informed, because who the hell knows about electrical panels? You know what I mean? If you're just a basic home, you're like, I just want a basement. You know what I mean? I just want a bay window or something. You're like, oh, I didn't know Federal Pacific panels from back in the 60s burned houses down consistently. Like, this stuff you want to know, because you go to buy the house and you don't realize you got a $15,000, $20,000 bill staring you in the face the first day you move in.
Dude, my panel was so crazy. So I'm just trying to do a panel switch out, and I've got an overhead line that comes in. Now, when they did this panel, originally it was on the other side of the house. They put a carport, so the meter was under the carport. And they allowed it back then, but you can't do it now.
Yep.
And all of a sudden they're like, oh, by the way,
move the entire masthead, which is super fun.
So the masthead is now got to move 25 feet.
Yep. And it's a 2-inch pipe that you got to get routed through or around.
Yeah.
Everything. So
that was a battle.
Super fun.
I did this 2 months before they made everything arc fault breakers, which was good because that did save me some money. But nice. I had an electrician in there for 2 days doing it. Could I have done it? Yeah. Did I have time to? No, I was like, no, I'm going to have this guy do it, because this was Rose City Electric here in Portland. They did it for me. And I'm like, guys, handle it. Just handle it. And I'm happy I did, because they powered through it. Just so crazy. When we come back, I want to talk about that too, because some of the mistakes I see get made, and there's so many people out there putting in car chargers that are like trying to get their Tesla charger in. Let's talk about that when Around the House returns.
Now, as we go out to break, let's listen to a little Dudley. We will be right back.
If I could dream. Is your website losing you money instead of making it? Slow load times, outdated design, or a clunky mobile experience could be driving those customers away. At SiteHypeDesigns.com, we turn bad websites into high-performing, customer-winning machines. Our expert designers create sleek, fast, and SEO-optimized sites that don't just look good, they convert visitors into paying customers. Don't let a weak website hold you back. Visit SiteHypeDesigns.com today for a free website audit and discover how we can take your business to the next level. SiteHypeDesigns.com, websites that work as hard as you do.
For our Around the House listeners, use promo code Eric G for a free website audit and a free half-hour consultation call.
Tired of home headaches, leaky faucets, cluttered garages, and DIY disasters got you down? Tune in to Around the House with Eric G., your guide to simple fixes, smart upgrades, and home hacks that save time and money. Now, subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel at Around the House HQ for tips, tricks, exclusive interviews with industry-leading experts in design and construction, all in stunning 4K. Search at Around the House HQ on YouTube and hit subscribe today. Don't miss out. Make your house a home with Around the House HQ.
Welcome back to the Around the House Show, your trusted source for everything about your home. Thanks for joining us today. John Dudley and I are sitting here talking about electrical upgrades that make sense. And I wanted to talk about this one, buddy, because so many people out there are either trying to DIY, or they got the handyman over there trying to put the Tesla charger on the wall system up because they want to charge their car. And man, this gets crazy. I saw a guy yesterday on social media. I was just commenting and I was like, are you kidding me? He was like, hey, I just put in a new service in my new car charger and I got to pull permits. What boxes do I check? And I'm like, that is the cart ahead of the horse. You are going to get fined It's just crazy.
I'll be nice.
Be nice. You got to get the stuff in the right order. What is your take on that? What is your take? I want to hear your take, Johnny.
It just scares me that you don't know which box to check and you're going to do it yourself. Let's just start there.
Like he's already done it himself. Yeah.
Let's just start there. Oh, man. Come on. I don't know. I'll tell you, as a contractor for decades, there are two things I just didn't mess with, man. And it's gas and electrical. Like, those two items burn houses down.
Yeah.
If I don't know enough to be certain I'm doing it correctly, I can't sleep at night. And I've done that. I'm like, man, I think I did that right. And I'll lay there in bed all night. Mm-hmm. And man, what if the house burns down? Like, and lesson learned. Like, I don't mess with things I don't know about. Yeah.
You don't mess with it. And
Electrical should not be a DIY thing. Swap an outlet. Okay, fine. Swap an outlet out. Maybe even running a new one if you can run that wire from one to another and you know that the circuit breaker can take it. You got a 20 amp, you got four outlets on it. Okay.
Yeah, but you're good.
But man, you go wiring car chargers or redoing your whole. No, you just can't. You can't.
Man, I tell you what, it gets crazy out there. And now the good news is now there's technology to help you with that. If you're worried about those shorts, if you're worried about that stuff. And we've talked about it on the show before, but there's a little box you can plug into an outlet in your home called Ting Fire.
You did talk about
that. So it monitors your house for shorts or things like that or bad neutrals or whatever. And it monitors your house all the way to the transformer.
Yeah.
So it watches your home. It's super trick. And if you have any kind of a short going on, it goes, hey, warning. It'll send you a text, however you set it up, or an email or whatever. They'll call you. And here's the cool thing. Most insurance companies now are paying for that for free. So you don't have to go buy it. Just get a hold of your insurance company and go, hey, State Farm, can you send me one of these?
That's nice.
And it warns you. It'll send you. And the thing is, too, they put a $1,000 insurance policy on it. So if you have a warning, they'll send the electrician out and they'll pay up to $1,000 because they want to know what the sound that it made. What was the problem?
Wow.
So they're doing further research with that. So they'll send out that insurance claim basically. And they go, okay, they're paying for the first $1,000 for the electrician. So they can go, oh, that was a stab outlet in the back of an outlet where the wires pushed in the back and it got loose. So it's one of those things that can totally protect your home.
Wow, that's great.
And it makes a lot of sense. And for, oh my gosh, for older homes that you have maybe some sketchy wiring that you haven't found yet. Makes a lot of sense.
Maybe some bundled up knob and tube that the squirrels are chewing through.
Oh, dude, attic. How many times have you seen that?
Oh, dude, I lived it.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, why is my, oh man, I just blanked out. Anyway, the squirrels chewed through the vents, my gable vents, and crawled into my attic, nested, and started chewing on the knob and tube. I'm in my North 30th house. And I was like, what's that hole all chipped away?
Oh, there it is.
Rodents.
So I just went over to tingfire.com to their website. 4 out of 5 electrical fires are prevented in homes with it.
Wow.
Over 1 million families trust Ting, and they've had 25,000 potentially devastating fires prevented already. And they're just a few years old.
What a brilliant product. I mean, and then the insurance company's jumping on board. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Think about it. The insurance company goes, you're going to plug something in your wall that costs a couple $100 and it's going to prevent 4 or 5 fires.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And why save don't you us do that? Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Yeah. That's a little bump in revenue.
Yeah. Just a bit. So that makes a lot of sense to me. That's super one that cool. makes sense. And you go, okay, I can get on that. But car chargers.
I love it when new technology and engineering serves instead of just plays ridiculous.
Yeah, so many times it does. And you think about car chargers, this gets interesting. So many times people are like, oh, I bought the car, I got to get my car charger. And they get in it and they go, oh, I have 100 amp service. If you've got a 60 amp car charger, you're in trouble, right?
Not if you only want to use one lamp in your house, you're fine.
Hey, honey, we're not turning the AC on tonight because I got to charge the lightning pickup.
Oh, man.
You're not going to be popular.
Not going to happen.
And we saw that at my buddy David's house. He had that trailer that was down in Pacific Palisades beforehand, and he couldn't get a charger because he had a 40-amp service to his property. And that's all the neighborhood was wired for.
Holy cats, man.
Literally, you would have had to turn off the every breaker except for the car charger and do a class 2 car charger just to get it going. And then you'd have no power in your house for 12 hours as you were charging it. So it didn't make any sense. And that's, okay, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second. That's one of the things that we've got a problem with the electric car thing out there is that we have not designed homes to handle an extra 40 or 60 amp circuit, depending on what you're putting in there.
Yeah, how is that not standard practice at this point? Whether you need it or not. Yeah, we make up some new rule about some type of nail you got to use only on this type of wood for this nonsensical reason. But
yeah,
something as simple as something that actually makes sense. Again, yeah. It should be standard issue at this point. I guess what I'm trying to get out.
Let's think about this for a second. So you've got, let's say you got a big 60 amp car charger in there. Maybe it's 50. Let's go 50. We'll go a little lower. So you got a car charger in there. And being that the average house out there, newer house has a 200 amp service, if you're being forced to use a heat pump that's going to take probably 30 or 40 amps, depending on what you got in there, for at least one unit.
Half your panel's gone with those two
things. Half your panel's gone. And then you've got your refrigerators, you've got your electric range because they don't have the gas there either. And then you've got the gas water, the electric water heater because they wouldn't let you put that in. You could, and maybe you got your hot tub out back, you're out of power.
A lot of sub-panel work coming up, fellas.
Yep. Okay, so am I going to put in a 400 amp service for this 2,200 square foot house, or what are we doing?
And why is that not being mandated at some point, right? So they can come back later.
Well, then now you got to
pull another permit to get that. You know what I mean?
And while there's not enough power coming off the pole to put in 400 amps, because you're now doubling the electrical capacity for the neighborhood, and got a feeling maybe those wires on the pole aren't big enough for that.
Yeah. See, and you make fun of my shower head that's wired direct from the wall. I don't know.
There is that.
I think we're on to something down here versus all that kind of mayhem, nonsensical, crazy. I don't know, man. Keep it simple, kids.
Again, it's one of those things. And I get people putting in solar. We have to go out to break here, but you throw solar in and that can be great in some areas. Many areas in my area, you got trees in the way, so it doesn't make sense. And man, a lot of people are leasing these solar things and they go to sell their house and somebody comes in to buy it. And they're like, I don't want to pay for your solar panels for the next 15 years. I want them removed. Who's paying that to be removed and the new roof to be put on the house? Because you got all these brackets that went through the roof.
That's a whole nother rant for me.
I know it.
We got a break, but yeah.
Yeah, let's go out to break. We'll continue on that rant when we come back because that makes sense sometimes. And then sometimes it can really hurt that house sale. We'll talk more about that just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. You've been listening to the Around the House show. Before we go to break, do me a quick favor. Head over to YouTube right now and follow our brand new 4K channel. Just search at Around the House HQ. We're uploading every episode in crystal clear 4K, plus tons of bonus footage you won't see anywhere else. We would love to hear your comments and questions. Just head to our website and you can contact us right there. We are always here to help. And for all our other links, podcast, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, everything, just go to aroundthehouseonline.com. We'll be right back with more great home tips in just a minute. Don't change that dial.
Tired of home headaches, leaky faucets, cluttered garages, and DIY disasters got you down? Tune in to Around the House with Eric G., your guide to simple fixes, smart upgrades, and home hacks that save time and money. Now, subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel at Around the House HQ for tips, tricks, exclusive interviews with industry-leading experts in design and construction, all in stunning 4K. Search at Around the House HQ on YouTube and hit subscribe today. Don't miss out. Make your house a home with Around the House HQ.
Hey everyone, this is Jim, producer of the Around the House Show podcast. If you're listening right now, you already know we bring you the best tips, tricks, and expert advice to fix, upgrade, and maintain everything in your home without the headaches or the huge bills. But if you're catching us on the radio or borrowing a friend's phone, you're missing out on new episodes dropping straight to your device every week. So do yourself a favor, hit pause for just a second, grab your phone, and subscribe to Around the House Show on your favorite podcast player. Whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, or wherever you listen. It's completely free, and you'll never miss an episode again. Thanks for supporting the show. Now let's get back to making your house work for you. All right.
Welcome back to the Around the House Show, your trusted source for everything about your home. Thanks for joining us. I've been talking about electrical stuff with your home, things to pay attention to, and of course, a few of our little rants. If you want to find out more, if you got a message to send us where you go, I don't agree at all, send it over to aroundthehouseonline.com. You can go over there and hit the contact us page and hit us up right there and follow us on social media. We'll be posting this up on our social media as well, so you can comment over there when you see that come up. Johnny, one of the big things that you're seeing out there with solar panels these days, and I got no problem with solar. Like, you're seeing people go in with the battery systems like the Tesla Powerwall 3, those kind of things. The problem, though, is those get expensive. That's a battery that is a storage, electrical storage system for your solar. Just one battery is $7,700. And if you're putting two or three in there, that gets pretty expensive. But now you can put solar panels up there and have those charging. So when you lose power, you do have some backup. And it can help you if you're overloading stuff too, if you've got the system designed where you could be charging your car off of that and that kind of stuff. It does make sense, but man, these systems are complex and they're expensive. And I know that there's a lot of companies out there that are trying to get people to lease it, or they're doing payment programs. And I think those are super smart if you're going to be in that house for the next 25 years.
Yeah.
But if you're going to sell it, do some research, because there's a lot of home buyers out there that don't want to make your payments on the system you put in. And that can be a problem depending on how your contract is written.
I think, and it's not too much of a rant, but I guess I'm just perplexed that this has been going on for decades, right? The whole solar idea, the whole solar, it's not cost effective, but I have a hard time understanding we haven't solved this yet. Come on, guys. Really? Does it have to be $7,700 for that box that you probably made for $350? Take it down a notch. Do we want it
probably
to make sense?
Probably $1,000 worth of lithium in that thing. That's probably or the is problem, there, right?
Okay, but still, that's been the battle for 20 plus years, I think.
Yeah.
A long time, as long as I can remember. Like
storage.
Solar. Why don't we just replace everything with solar? And okay, that makes great sense until it doesn't, because it's $1 million to do.
Yeah.
We've managed to bring buying a brand new computer down from $5,000 to $500. So what's going on?
I agree.
That's all I'm saying. There's a solution there. Let's find it. Let's use it.
Yeah.
We made electric cars. So,
and I'll be honest, I think electric cars are going to do a pivot here. I think we're going to see what like Ford is going to be doing now. They whiffed it with their words, not mine, really, on the F-150 Lightning, the electric Lightning pickup. It just didn't sell. They discontinued it this year. And I think it's because you had 200 miles for towing if you're towing a small trailer around. So it didn't seem practical for people unless you were like a lawn care company in town running in between stuff. It didn't make
electric
a lot of sense.
I think an electric truck is a tough sell anyway. That's not really your audience.
But here's
like
the thing.
If you're a truck driver, you want it to sound like a damn truck.
Yeah, but here's the thing, dude. I see electric semi trucks driving around here all the time because they're testing them, and they're testing autonomous ones as well.
Yep.
So I'm seeing those cruising around, but I think what you're going to see technology wise is we're going to see maybe little tiny hydrogen engines that are running a generator that you could still plug in, but all of a sudden now you can get 500 miles out of that truck, or 500 miles out of that BMW that you're driving. And now things start to make a little bit of sense. If I'm driving from my house to go see my buddy over in on the eastern side of the state, I don't want to stop midway sit and have lunch for an hour and a half for it to recharge for me to go the rest of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it stops making sense at that point. What, I got to get a motel three different times just to get from Portland to San Francisco?
Yeah, I see people do it, and they go out there and they pop into the supercharging station and do it. But, dude, that's a tough sell for me.
Oh. No, me too.
That's me too. Sell,
I mean, as much as I'd like it not to be, we're spoiled, man. We're not about inconvenience anymore.
But here's the other thing, too. It makes sense. Like, if you and I are, when we're building the beach compound, which will be another year's project, this makes sense.
Yeah.
When there's no electrical in the area.
Yep.
Awesome. We can put storage in there. We can have solar. There's a lot of sun.
So and again, that's why I brought up Mexico. Like, everything down there is deep cell batteries, solar functions just fine. It's working. It's working. And we've made so many advancements, but we're still not utilizing it. It's like we could and like we should. You know? My little brother, Jesse's been preaching about the Tesla roof for 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
The Tesla
roof's
another one. That's a little sketch.
I'm saving up. I'm getting the Tesla roof. I'm like, the what, huh? This is like 7 years ago or something. But
the problem, though, that I see, and this is the problem that I see, the Tesla roof, the weak point to me on that is, and if you guys don't know what we're talking about, that is a roof shingle that is a solar panel. And I get it, but you think about it, every section of roof has its own connector.
Yeah.
So to me, I go, I don't want to have 1,000 connections on my roof to go bad.
Yeah, agreed. I get it. I don't know enough about the engineering of it. I do know that Jesse, my little brother, is one of the smartest people I'll ever meet in my entire life. So if he backs it, I'm just take his word for it. But yeah, I know nothing about the engineering. I know nothing about the million contact points that are going to corrode if you're next to the beach, or short circuit if you have an earthquake or whatever. Yeah.
I have tried to get someone from Tesla to talk about that on the show for 3 years.
Oh, what's up?
And Tesla, they will not do any media on it at all. No. Won't come talk about it.
Curious. You
know? And that's interesting to me.
That makes me want to call them up.
I know. They have
or at least call them out.
I'm calling them out because guess what? I want them on the show to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, let's hear
questions. And they will not. They just, nope, we don't do that. And it was like, right. Wow. I got up to the decision makers who were like, not a chance. And I'm like,
come on, not a chance. We're going to have to run the Rolodex on this one. We got to find a door.
It's cool. I like how they're doing it. They're more like larger, like 12 by 24 tiles that go on the roof versus just a little, you know. And again, I don't know the exact dimensions, but I'm just roughing up from what I saw. I get it. You can literally have a 12.6 kilowatt solar roof. Makes sense for a lot of places.
Be super. If it works. But
to me, I see 1,000 connections out there. Maybe it's not 1,000. Maybe it's 500. Still.
Either way, I'm curious now because I haven't done any research on it until we brought it up today. And I just, like I said, I remember Jesse telling me about it 7 years ago or something. And I was like, huh? Yeah. What? But now I'm curious. I wonder how much information is actually out. If they won't come on here and talk about it, what can we find out about it?
All right. I think I see a project coming up.
My interest is piqued. I'm like, all right, are these working? And if they are, why aren't there more of them? Or are they?
And I just pulled it up. I was wrong on the size. They're 45 by 15, basically. So they're a little bigger. But still, they're 72 watts per panel. And they've got the minimum roof pitch is 212. So that's cool. You know, so hail rating a class 4, fire rating class A, wind rating class F. So they've got all the high stuff there. I just worry about how they snap together and where the power goes, because that's my concern.
And again, look at the engineering of it and where are the case studies. And yeah, that'd be fun to do some digging on.
Yeah, they just don't want to talk about it.
Good news. We don't have to dig anymore. Just ask Grok.
There we go. That's what we'll do. There we go.
Actually, maybe not ask Grok. Maybe a little biased.
Yeah, Grok could be a little biased considering the boss man designed it. We could get a phone call if we start asking, why won't this happen?
Maybe we just gotta ask
some harder questions.
We either need to call him up or call him out. One way
we call him
or
out.
Another.
I think we have
one way or another, we get him on here. Yep.
Absolutely. Man, electrical is one of those things. And guys, before we wrap this show up, I just want to say, take the time, pull the permits, get the right people over there. It's not that big a deal. But save yourself some liability if you pull the permit and get it done, then you know it's right. And you can just get it looking good. It's that simple. just do it right. Like Johnny said, he didn't ever do a lot of that stuff because he just wanted to get the contractor that knew what they were doing, that's that electrician out there, to do it. I'd do the same thing. I think it's a smart business for yourself to just have them do it right versus the handyman that shows up that you got a hope and a prayer they're not going to try to burn your house down.
You got to remember your whole life is in your house, and electrical and gas are dangerous. You can paint a wall wrong with very little consequences. You can roof a house wrong with not a lot of consequences. But fire destroys things, like everything in the house.
Absolutely. And that's one of those things. We'll talk lighting another day, but that's one of those things that I just really wanted to talk about with electrical, is just take the time, swap it out, no shortcuts, put the right size panel in there, and you'll be good to go. That way you've got something that's going to be durable that you can add to. If you're going to put in that car charger down the road, plan for it when you're putting the panel in or you're building that house. Make sure you got enough to add that pool or the hot tub or whatever else you're doing. And it's really becoming something that is part of what we're seeing out there. When you do a kitchen remodel or a bathroom model, you're having to add circuits. This is a big topic that we're seeing. John, great to have time with you today on this, man. Fun to banter back and forth with you as always.
Absolutely,
brother. On some of these debates, and it's always a great time and always fun sitting there getting your take on these things, man.
As crass as it may be.
Ah, that's the good part of it. All right, for John Dudley, I'm Eric G, and you've been listening to Around the House. We're all over the radio. Take my hand, I know where to go. Hey, it's Eric G with Around the House. Are you looking to grow your business? Need a spokesperson for your company? Maybe an MC for an upcoming trade show? Or maybe you want to up your game and shoot some promotional videos? My team of experts would love to chat with you. Head to aroundthehouseonline.com and fill out the contact us form, and we'll set something up. Thanks for listening to Around the House.